Little by little. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my dear listeners, welcome back to the channel. And this is your host and good friend Nikki again. So from the title, you can see that today we're gonna explore the concept of happiness. And the reason why I want to create this episode is that we as a society, as a culture, we definitely haven't talked about happiness enough. I mean, we usually pay our attention to things like success and achieving excellence and productivity and stuff like this. You know, despite the importance of them, I feel like they are definitely not the overall picture of our life. I mean, happiness is definitely the cornerstone of our life too. But it seems that our society just expects us to automatically master the skills of being happy. But actually, that's not true. I mean, if you actually check, you know, how many people in today's society are getting depressed, you will know that we are terrible of achieving happiness. And also, I have the feeling, you know, that as we are getting older and older, we're gradually losing the ability to feel, you know, internally happy ourselves. So I really want to examine the issue and also provide you guys with a roadmap to different levels of happiness. And I hope that at the end of the episode, you guys can have some very essential takeaways that can help you guys to enrich your life and also to uplift your mood when you guys are feeling a little bit down or stuff like that. And if so, I would be very, very happy. Okay, so right now, let's just dive right into it. Okay, now, happiness. Actually, we can't really talk about happiness without thinking about what is happening in our brain, because essentially it is our brain that will release some certain sort of bowel chemicals or neurotransmitters that will make us feel happy. So basically there are four types of such neurotransmitters, and we will examine them one by one. So the first type of bowel chemical that our brain releases to make us feel happy is called dopamine. I'm pretty sure that you guys have the feeling of excitedness when you guys are waiting for something amazing to happen. For example, if you are a big fan of Taylor Swift and then you have bought a ticket for her concert, I think that maybe 1 week before the event takes place, you will feel so excited and so happy and so look forward to the event that you cannot even fall asleep at night, because all you can do is to imagine how amazing it is to listen to her wonderful voice and also to see her powerful dances and also to communicate with other fellow fans of hers, you know. So this kind of you know, dopamine kick is something that we all experience in our day-to-day life. Even when you have just booked a nice hotel or a nice restaurant or stuff like that, you would definitely look forward to it. And that is dopamine at play. So after understanding how dopamine works, I think that we all understand how we should make some certain changes to our routines, our weekly routines or our monthly routines, to incorporate this kind of excitedness into our life. So personally, right now, I usually just plan at least one event every week. For example, that event can be just going to a jazz bar at a Saturday night and watch the live performance. And that basically gives me nice dopamine over the week. And I will basically feel kind of excited and happy throughout the week. Or if you don't want to go outside, then you can actually plan some sort of weekly movie nights together with your friends or family members. And over the week, you will have to think about what movie to watch and also what sort of drinks and snacks or food you guys can enjoy together. And this kind of planning process is basically very enjoyable. So I think that the takeaway here is that no matter whether you are planning for some event such as a nice dinner party or a gathering together with your friends, or you're just participating in an event, no matter whether you are the organizer or you're just the attender, as long as there is something planned out, as long as you're looking forward to it, you will generally feel happy about it. But of course, there is a catch. With dopamine, there is a catch. There is something that is called dopamine addiction, which basically is associated with the overuse of social media. Remember just now we talked about how dopamine is, related to our expectation to something wonderful happening. So this happens a lot when we are scrolling down our social media, right? We expect to see some wonderful video or some surprising content or a piece of news or stuff like that. So this sort of expectation just keeps us scrolling down the social media endlessly, and that definitely creates troubles. So this is called dopamine addiction, and we should very intentionally avoid it. So I think that we'd better just restrict our screen time every day to, maybe 2 hours top, so that you will not become addicted to the endless release of dopamine. Okay, now next up, let's just talk about the second biochemical that is related to our sense of happiness. So that is called endorphin. So in my understanding, endorphin is a neurotransmitter that is more related to our feeling of satisfaction or contentment. For example, one day you have basically finished a 30-minute run or even an hour run. So after that, you will feel what is called runner's high. So the reason why you feel so high is basically because the endorphin is right now at play. And what's amazing about endorphin is that the happiness created by it is proved to be more long-lasting and more stable than what is created by dopamine. So I feel like more or less, we should basically seek out the happiness that is created by endorphin. And if I take myself, for example, every time after I have released an episode of my podcast, I will feel incredibly satisfied and content. And that kind of happiness or sense of fulfillment will last, especially if you guys are, giving me a lot of feedback and comments and stuff like that. So the key takeaway here is that, to get this kind of happiness that is created by endorphin, I feel like we should just try to find something challenging and meaningful in our lives to do. It can be a line of work, and also it can be some sort of hobbies you choose and you devote to. It can also be very tiny things such as just cooking meals for your family members. I feel like all these things can actually create very long-lasting happiness for ourselves. And just now when I am talking, something just came to my mind, that is the Chinese proverb that is called 日供一组. I feel like the happiness brought by endorphin to me seems pretty similar to the happiness that is brought by 日供一组. I mean, we are putting in the work, and we're seeing our progress, and we're seeing what we can do. So this sort of innate contentment is something that is very stable and that can really last for a long time. So that is very trustworthy and reliable too. And you know what? I do have a feeling. I don't know whether this feeling is right or wrong, but I do feel it. I feel like endorphin can also be released, when we are just engaging in some really good consumption behaviors. I am not advocating consumerism. You know, if we just buy things aimlessly, then that is pointless, right? But if we really buy things intentionally and we buy what we really love, then this kind of happiness can also last for a long, long time. For example, when you're purchasing something like electronic products, or you're just buying some pieces of clothing or some bags that you really want to use for a long time, then you should actually go for the quality and also the design. Even though sometimes the product can be a little bit expensive, you know, more expensive than you have expected, still, if you choose to be buying the best one within your purchasing power, I feel like this can definitely bring you long-term contentment. And, you know, every night when you go back home and you see that all these room of good stuff that you have bought for yourself, that is a feeling that is indescribable. You know, it's just like, I think that's even more than content. So my vocabulary probably is going too narrow here, but I guess you guys can all get my gist, right? Okay, now next up, let's just discuss the third type of neurotransmitter that is associated with our feeling of happiness. That is called serotonin. So this transmitter is associated with our feeling of joy and peace. So joy and peace, right? It's basically a very beautiful feeling, if you know what I mean. So every time when I think of joy and peace, I just think of the Chinese saying of 今日无事. It's basically you don't have to do anything that day, and you're just by yourself, and you can do whatever you enjoy doing, or you can completely do nothing at all. Anyway, the fundamental vibe is joy and peace. So now that this biochemical is related to this beautiful feeling, how can we get it? So essentially there are two key words. The first one is to get close to nature more. I mean, if you just take a walk in the park or in the mountain, and also if you have more sun exposure, but of course keep in mind, don't get sunburned, you know. So if you just have these things in place, then you can very smoothly just get a nice kick of serotonin, and then you will feel somehow just calmer, you know, feel more peaceful, and that's a really great feeling. And another key word to get more serotonin is to have more me time, you know, to have more alone time. For example, you're just by yourself at home listening to some nice music, or you're dancing just by yourself to some nice music. And at one point, you basically don't feel the boundary between you and the music. It's like you are the music. And then the self has already melted. So that's a very wonderful and nice feeling. And similar feelings can be experienced through some activities such as meditation, and that is another alone activity, right? You basically sit there and then you just meditate, forget about all your troubles, your stress, and forget about your ideas and minds and stuff. You just sit there and let your mind go empty. And sometimes 10 minutes or 20 minutes or even 1 hour passes by very, very quickly, and you don't feel the sense of self anymore. And after the meditation session is over, all you can feel is deep, deep calm. And that is wonderful, right? Amazing. So just remember, if you just want to get a large release of serotonin, you need to be really good friends with yourself. I mean, you need to have a lot of me time, just you and yourself. And at the same time, you should also be good friends with nature. You know, when the sun is out there, then you can, you know, wear some sun protection, but at the same time, just enjoy more sun exposure and walk from time to time in nature or exercise in nature. That will be very rewarding. Just trust me, okay? Little by little, little by little. so finally let's talk about the fourth transmitter that is called oxytocin. You know, this is something that is related to connection and attachment. We all know that human beings are social animals, and we feel a sense of belonging in a group. And if we become an outcast of a group, we will definitely feel isolated and we will feel depressed. And the fundamental reason actually has something to do with oxytocin. You know, if we have some good friends and we usually hang out with them, then either we are having some very deep conversations with each other, or we're having some physical touch, like hugging one another or holding each other's hands or something. We are basically gonna have this sort of sense of connection. Like we feel seen, we feel warm at heart, we feel like we are capable of giving love. And all these feelings are such good feelings that is close to happiness. So what I'm going to recommend is that we actually need to be generous with our time, especially when it comes to our close friends. If they are in trouble, we should actually be good listeners, not exactly problem solvers. You know, sometimes keeping them company is a huge deal. Or sometimes probably you can't see your friends because you guys are very far away from each other and you guys are in different cities, in different locations or stuff. You can also, you know, share some music that you're listening to him or her, and this will also contribute to the connection that you guys have established. And some people may say that they don't actually have very close friends. Then you can actually keep some pets like a doggy or a kitty. You know, they can somehow replace our friends' roles and also give us this sense of, you know, belonging, or, you know, the feeling of being needed or stuff like that. So all these things can give us a nice kick of oxytocin. Okay, now at this point, we have completely analyzed all these four elements, all these four neurotransmitters that can contribute to our feeling of happiness. And if we sum it up, then there are some very important things to remember. So to get more dopamine, we actually need to plan for some interesting events that we look forward to. And also to get more endorphin, we can basically set and also achieve some challenging goals, and also remember this sort of 日拱一卒 attitude. Then the endorphin will gradually release and give us this long-lasting happiness. And also to get more serotonin, we need to understand the importance of spending time in nature and also spending more time with ourselves, doing something that's really calming and peaceful instead of doing something that will make our mind so messed up, you know. And finally, to get more oxytocin, we need to really be around our friends more and trying to establish more deeper connections with them. Para parecer, I wanna make you feel alright. I wanna do it right. Okay, now I guess we are approaching the end of today's episode. You know, all these things are basically very simple, but they're definitely not easy to do. So I think that the best thing that comes with pursuing happiness is that essentially the act of pursuing happiness will make us better people as well. For example, when you're trying to get more dopamine, you are basically planning for events to take place, and this is definitely very time consuming, but of course you are trying to balance out everything, that like every resource you have to make this event to take place. So during this process, your time management skills are definitely improving. And at the same time, just because you are planning for things like parties or gatherings, you probably will be afraid that your friends are not gonna just show up or stuff. And this is also something that you need to overcome, like overcome your inner fear and stuff. So basically, I consider the process of seeking for happiness as a chance for us to become better people. And I hope that at the other end of seeking for happiness, we can become more, confident, more brave, and more loving and open, and more concentrating on what's really important in our life. So I feel like if we can really arrive there, then that's the best thing that we can experience in our life. So at the end of this episode, still, I'd like to send my best wishes for all of my dear listeners. I hope that you guys can not only achieve great things, but also remain always happy in your life. Yeah, so this is Nikki, and I am gonna see you guys next round. See ya! Mwah.